This morning, I want to talk about being thankful. It's timely, right? Well, I kind of thought during the week, hey, I wrote a sermon about this before, I'll just get that out. Well, I got it out and I looked at it, and frankly, it was one of the worst sermons I'd ever read. So you're in better shape this morning, I hope, for a little bit different idea. Now, I began to read about the pilgrims out of the last month's Smithsonian magazine. So I hope I get all this right. If you go back to England in about 1490, what happened in 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean. Boy, y'all are good, right? The big countries like of Europe, England, and those countries, they were seeking to expand and to find new property and new countries. So they sent Columbus abroad, and they were seeking out new places. And as a result of that, Columbus found America, right? Now, if you skip up to almost around 1600 to 1620, you know who the King of England was at that time? He wrote the authorized Bible you have if you have a King James Bible. That's what it says in the front. It's authorized by King James, right? King James was the King of England. And there was a church in England. It was called the Church of England. Okay? Now, it was kind of an interesting situation because the Church of England, the supreme, last, final say rested in the King of England. The King of England was the head of state as well as the head of the church. And King James said, hey, look, you're going to do it my way with no highway option. If you don't worship God the way I tell you to, some beheadings are going to happen or hangings or whatever the case was, and those things did happen. You had to read the formal prayer book prescribed by the priest and approved by the king to be what you should be. You had no right, if you were in England, to question the method of worship. You had no right to ask any questions. You had no right to seek God on your own. You had to follow the prescription of the church and the king. So as a result of that, some people said, you know what? This is not right. We need to fix it. They're called the Reformers. The Reformation movement, okay? There's another group, though, called the Separatists. The Separatists are the ones that's going to get on the boat and come to America. The Separatists later on will be called Pilgrims. They said, you know what? We can't fix this. It's broke. We've got to get away from it. We've got to be able to worship God on our own, from our own reading, our own understanding. We've got to find God. So they separated themselves out. And when the Mayflower and the Speedwell left for America, yeah, there was two ships. Speedwell had to come back because it had leaks, right? But the Mayflower come on to America with 102 people aboard besides the crew. One-third of the 102 were separatists. So when they get to America, let's see, I got some pictures somewhere. Oh yeah, here's the Mayflower. How many of you have been to Plymouth, Massachusetts? Me? It exists. I've been there. And I drove a long, long way. It's up by Cape Cod. They actually have a replica of the Mayflower there, and there's a picture of it. And, oh, what a bummer. Man, I drove so long to get there to see this rock. And I don't have anything in the picture to compare it to except a white dot that I didn't see earlier. Okay. This thing is about this big. Three or four of us could load it in the back of a truck. I was expecting the Rock of Gibraltar, right? But it's not. It's a small rock. These folks, these separatists, landed there. And you know what? They landed there in December of 1620. And buddy, they had a cold winter. They fell on hard times. This group was starving. But the next fall, they celebrated what we refer to as the first Thanksgiving feast. It was a harvest feast. They celebrated with the natives of the land. And they were glad and they prayed and offered thanks for these things. But I got to thinking to myself, if I was a pilgrim, what would I be thankful for? I'd be thankful that I had some food because I'd been starving to death for a while, right? I'd be thankful that I had some people around me, some friends, some relatives perhaps, some neighbors. I'd be thankful that I might have, by that time, built me a little comfortable cot to sleep on or something. But you know what the number one thing I'd be thankful for? Consider my past, that I come out of England. The very number one thing I'd be thankful for was that I could worship God in freedom. Amen. The very thing that we have, the very thing that we enjoy. And you know what? I don't remember the last time I thanked God for it. Do you? Well, we should. Today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know where... Oh, that's the Pilgrims praying. I just threw that on there, but I didn't know where I was at in my notes. I had to click it again. Luke chapter 17, if you have your Bibles. And before I say this, I'm going to put a picture up on the PowerPoint that is not very tasteful. I had to really wrestle with putting this up on the screen. If you have a weak stomach, don't look at the screen. If you don't want your children to see what a leper looks like, have them look down. Or take them out now. I'm going to show you what a leper looks like as we read this story. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men stood at a distance and met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." This is what Jesus saw. When Jesus came into this leper colony between Galilee and Samaria, he saw people with this kind of disease. And I picked out this one. There's far worse ones. There's ones on there that'll make you puke that I'm not going to put up here. But I got to thinking to myself, this disease is horrible. Disease of leprosy. Jesus comes into a colony of folks and this is what they look like. Here's a picture of one of their hands. Can you imagine having this kind of disease on your... Can you see that good? I can see it pretty good. Can you imagine having that kind of disease? It's just a horrible thing. But Jesus comes upon a colony of these folks that had this disease. The first thing I want to talk about is found in verse 12. These lepers, they have need. Leprosy is defined as a chronic, infectious disease characterized by sores and white spots beneath the skin. Leprosy is a plague, folks. Jesus comes upon these lepers, and you know what they're doing out here in the middle of nowhere? It's not a quaint little cottage with nice little brick homes. It's not blended in with a bunch of other people. This is a leper colony, from my understanding. Why were these lepers out here in a colony? Because they were infectious. They had a disease that could be easily caught by other people. And you know what? They had to go out and separate themselves from their wives, from their children, from their friends, from their family. What must it be like to be a leper? Can you imagine? Now if you're weak-hearted, just lean your head back because I'm going to get a little graphic. You have sores that are running. Goop that's oozing. How often are you washing your clothes? How often can you lay down because the sores are so hard to bear? How can you have a conversation with somebody when they're looking at you like, ugh? Boy, talk about in a bad shape. These people needed something. And you know what I think about us spiritually? You know what? Sometimes, folks, we can look like a leper spiritually, can't we? Plagued by the problems of this world and this life. And I see this leper. I tried to be a leper all week. I really did. I've thought about this. And let me tell you what, it's unpleasant to the best of my guesstimation. It's horrible to be a leper. These lepers found themselves ostracized, outcast, disgusting even to themselves. Here, Jesus met 10 such men, limited by their disease. And in verse 13, they asked Jesus for a blessing. They met Jesus at a distance, the Scripture says. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It's an interesting thing to do a little bit of a study throughout the Scripture and find out why these folks knew who Jesus was. Sometimes it's the most desperate of people who recognize Jesus when others don't. You can read the whole New Testament and work on that yourself. It's an interesting thing, but these lepers, they cry out. They recognize that they were not clean before the Lord. You know, these folks, back to point one, they couldn't even go to the temple to worship because they were unclean before the Lord. Uncleanliness, in biblical terms, represents an unfavorable position between God and man. And if you do a study of diseases in the Old Covenant, you understand that God shows some likeness between sin and disease, okay? So these folks here, they understand that they're unclean, they're not right, they can't even go before God. They see Jesus coming and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If you were a leper, Carl, is that what you'd be asking? He just opted for a quick smile. I think I'd be saying, heal me. Get rid of this stinking disease. They said, have mercy on us. Don't give us what we deserve. They made the likeness, the correlation between the physical and the sin. Have mercy on us. And Jesus answered them, I don't know what page I'm on, but I'm going with it. Jesus answers them in 14 and he says, go and show yourself to the priest. He did not say, you are healed. Did you pick up on that? Go and show yourself to the priest. Now why would he go and show himself? Why would these lepers go? What would be the connection there? After you have been unclean, the last step to becoming right before God again is to what? Go show yourself to the priest. Go through the rite of purification, right? And be in right standing for God so you can come back before God. And he tells them, go show yourself to the priest. Man, I got junk running out my sores. But these men went. And on the way, what happened? What does the text tell us that happened on the way? They were, oh, check your Bible again. Cleansed. Oh boy, I'll tell you what, there's some good stuff here. They were cleansed. Their physical sores went away. That was a miracle that happened that day, folks. Their sores, skin and flesh took over that and covered that, and the little hairs come back and look normal. What would you do? Woohoo! Yay! I'm clean! I don't have these sores anymore. My face doesn't look like somebody ran over with a truck. I'm doing better. You know what they did? They continued on to go and see the priest. All except one. One man, verse 15 and 16. One leper. He was the faithful church member, right? He was the really godly person, right? He was a Samaritan. Have we heard this story before? He was the one that's supposed to be an outcast himself. He says, man, I'm taking time out here. I'm going to give thanks to God. He returned to Jesus. He fell on his face, giving glory to God. He gave thanks. He stopped and he said, hey, I might be on my way to the temple to have the priest help me with purification, but let me tell you something. I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to thank God for who He is and for what He's done for me. Oh, that's what we need to be doing, thanking God. He returns and Jesus says, oh, wasn't there 10 of you? What happened to the other 9? But then Jesus says this to this guy. Where am I at? Verse 19. He said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you what? Well? Not cleansed? He used the term cleansed earlier. That has to do with physical healing. The word here doesn't have anything to do with physical healing. Stand up. Stand up. Your faith, through your thanksgiving to God, has made you well. The word is whole. Saved from destruction. Saved from loss. This guy got wholeness. There was 90% of the group that all they got was a blessing. Church, sometimes all we get is a blessing because we're not thankful enough and faithful enough to get wholeness. Have you been there? I've been there. God says, no, be thankful to me. How many of you have ever helped somebody without not so much as a word of thankfulness? Does that make you feel really good, doesn't it? How does God feel when we fail to give Him thanks? I appreciated the songs that Brother David led for us today. Thankful to the Lord. That's what we need to be. And the last point, if I can turn the page, push the button, turn the page, 9 were ungrateful. Maybe these 9 folks just thought that God owed it to them. Maybe they saw it as windfall, an unexpected blessing. You know, God sends His blessings on the unjust and the just as well, doesn't He? You know what? How do we feel when blessings just shower down on us? Do we get used to it? Do we just open our hands and say, thank you, Lord? Well, it's a good thing to say, thank you, Lord. But do we just blindly receive those blessings without being truly thankful to the Creator who gave them? It sure needs to be on our list. 90% of the lepers were ungrateful. Out of 10, 9 were ungrateful. What does that say? Does that say anything about, can that statistic possibly be applied to our generation today? It could. They had a big problem with not being grateful, being thankful to God. And you know, I look around and I consider myself this week, just how thankful am I for the provisions that God has given me. How often do I just take it for granted that we have a nice building here with the heat and the air conditioning? We don't have to be out in the parking lot in tents? Well, I'm thankful for that. That's kind of nice. How thankful am I that I have brothers and sisters in Christ who will come to me and lovingly and caringly talk to me and correct me if I need it and encourage me? Oh, that, they're just supposed to do that, right? No, I'm going to be thankful for it. How many times am I going to be thankful for the mailman bringing my mail to the house so I don't have to go down to the post office and get it? I've got so many things to be thankful for, it is unreal. Did you hear, as Ron was reading through Colossians today, how many times it said to be thankful to the Lord? In Philippians, as you go back to Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request made known to God. Folks, we got to get in a thankful life. I titled this lesson before, Thanks Living. Maybe that's a good thought. Maybe we need to be living thankful. Romans chapter 1, in verse 21 says, the wicked do not thank God. God equates unthankfulness with wickedness. And boy, did I fall short sometimes. Let me conclude in this way. How many times has the world around us plagued us with spiritual disease? Maybe your disease this morning has isolated you from other Christians and from God, much as these lepers. How many times have we merely asked for a blessing and settled for a blessing? How many times have we neglected thankfulness and missed out on wholeness of life? Have you considered that you have a responsibility toward the blessings that God gives you? It's easy to just stick out your hand and take a gift. And it's a whole different thing to understand your responsibility to that gift. It's a whole other thing to forget the giver. God has blessed us and we don't even see it, church. God has so richly blessed us in so many ways, it's incredible. You know, as we go through our prayer seminar, we went through the prayer seminar, now we're going through the prayer books. Maybe we just need to spend a day here and just give thanks to the Lord. If you have a need this morning, if you've not been thankful, or maybe you just want to come forward and say, you know what, I'm thankful about this, and share it with all of us, we would love to hear from you. If you have something we can help you with this morning, would you come as we stand and sing?